the world. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the black, Bob Zimmerman keeps the website watching very carefully commercial space and big space. We now speak to a veteran of big space who has been leading one of the major well-funded members of commercial space, Blue Origin. And now, Bob, who is Bob Smith and what's happened at Blue Origin? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Bob Smith was hired by Jeff Bezos back in 2017, and Bezos was the one who did the hiring and did the vetting. He hired him back in 2017 to take over Blue Origin to get that company into the air, or into orbit, into space, actually. At the time, Blue Origin was testing almost monthly its New Shepard suborbital reusable ship, and in fact had successfully vertically landed it ahead of SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket first vertical landing. Now, it's a suborbital craft, but it's intended for short hops of tourism. But nonetheless, they had managed a vertical landing, and they were testing it almost monthly. And then Bob Smith took over, and then nothing happened. And then suddenly everything stopped. Not only did Blue Origin stop testing New Shepard for years, it was then almost 4 years plus, no, I'm sorry, 6 years plus before they finally did a commercial flight. 6 years, even though they're testing it monthly in 16. New Glenn, their orbital rocket, which is supposed to launch in 20, 3 years after Smith took over, has still not launched now as we move towards the fourth quarter of 23. It's 4 years behind schedule. And along the way, while Bob Smith is in charge, there were problems with the BE-4 engine that's used as the first stage engine for both New Glenn as well as ULA's Vulcan new Vulcan rocket. And that BE-4 engine, there are apparently problems, and suddenly development of it slowed to almost a crawl for 4 years. There was almost no testing, it seemed. Nothing seemed to be happening. And so, by 20, I was reporting with you, John, and I'm behind the black repeatedly. This guy is a problem. There was clear evidence that there was a flood of exit people fleeing the company, management and engineers. They just weren't happy there under him. And so it seemed to me that 4 years ago, they should have been gone because something was wrong. In the subsequent years, we learned that one of the reasons the BE-4 engine was so behind schedule is because Smith decided not to fund the purchase of hardware. If you're going to be testing a new engine and it has issues, what you need to do is buy hardware, pay the money to build prototypes that you can test and blow up to figure out what's wrong. He was an old space guy. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't spend the money. So they couldn't test it, which means they couldn't fix it for years. They finally gotten some flight-worthy engines to ULA, so its Vulcan rocket can hopefully launch maybe by the end of this year, maybe. But they still have not really demonstrated the capability of manufacturing this engine on a regular basis. So what has finally happened to Bob Smith? Finally, this early this week, Bob Smith in a company-wide email announced he's resigning at the end of the year. Obviously, Bezos finally had enough, finally, years late. And he's going to be replaced with a guy named Dave Limp, who was the VP at Amazon for devices and services, did a lot of hardware, was involved in getting the initial prototype satellites built for Amazon's Kuiper broadband network constellation of satellites that's supposed to compete directly with Starlink. This is a great piece of news because it might mean that some action can finally happen from Blue Origin. Blue Origin has become like a joke punchline for the last few years because nothing ever gets built. You know, they have as much money, if not more, than SpaceX because of Bezos' deep pockets. They were formed almost the exact same time as SpaceX, but while SpaceX now has launched almost 250 times and reused first stages more than 200 times, Blue Origin still hasn't gotten an orbital rocket off the ground and is a year away, probably. So maybe this will get some action going. One caveat I will point out, though, is that Dave Limp, who's taken over, his bulk space experience was the Kuiper satellite system, and unfortunately, Kuiper has shown the same tendencies of slow slow travel. They were proposed at the same moment Starlink was proposed. And while Starlink now has, 5,000 satellites in orbit and is more than 1 million customers already buying the service, Kuiper hasn't launched a satellite yet. Hopes to get two prototypes up next month. So we hope Dave Limp will show a little bit more life at Blue Origin than he did at Kuiper. And it's hard for him to show less life than under Bob Smith there. So this is the hope, John.
A culture difference, Bob, that we can see in retrospect. SpaceX is run almost as if it's on an opera stage, and you can see everything. They don't even believe in curtains. Everything happens out in the open. The successes, the ambition, the announcement by Musk, the rockets blowing up, the disaggregation on the stand, the persecution by Washington, all of it out in the open as if there's an applause line every time Musk takes a turn. Blue Origin, however, was closed down as if it was the Cold War, and they weren't letting anybody in the building. Langley isn't as tight an operation as Blue Origin. And I don't know what that means, Bob, but it certainly reflects something funny about Blue Origin that wasn't necessary.
You know, John, the analogy, and this I agree with you, the analogy I'd make is the difference between America with free speech and openness and NASA and the Soviets during the Soviet area of the space race, where the Soviets would not announce any failures at all until they fixed the problem. And then suddenly you'd learn about what the failure was, but now it's been fixed. And while the United States was open about everything, because, you know, if you're open about your problems, you can make it easier to fix them, actually. You're not hiding your secrets, and you're not also fearful of announcing a problem because it might have bad consequences. You want to get things fixed. And that describes the difference between, in many ways, Bob Smith at Blue Origin and Elon Musk at SpaceX. Because SpaceX, as Elon Musk once said, you have to be if someone suggests you're doing something wrong, you have to be insane not to listen to them. That's Elon Musk, almost word for word, one time he said it. And that's not how Bob Smith apparently operated. He didn't like anyone telling him that he was doing something wrong. That's why a lot of people, I think, left the company. And in engineering, you got to be able to listen to people telling you you're doing it wrong, because especially when it's rocket science, things are going to go wrong, and you got to fix them. And the only way to fix them is to be honest about the problem.
I remember
and it doesn't appear that case with him.
One day, Bob, there was a video of landing the Falcon 9 on a raft off of a barge at sea, and it came down perfectly on spot. And then it teetered like a great big tree falling over, because I think it was one of the fins gave out or something like that happened.
It was one of the early launches before the sea was rough. I know the exact story. The sea was rough. They didn't yet have their octopus robot there to quickly latch onto it and hold it in place. And it was an early thing. So this was it
fell on the side. And rather than everybody being defeated, it was kind of like, oh, well, back to the drawing board. What do we need to do?
And they fixed it.
We never had Blue Origin show any of its attempts or failures. We don't even know if there were any.
Yeah, we do. We do. But it was always very reluctantly spoken of. And the key, though, with Blue Origin, especially with the BE-4 engine, was not so much that they had failures and they were keeping it secret, though they were very closed-mouthed. The problem was they stopped testing. You didn't know why. No announcements. Suddenly, they'd been testing the engine regularly. Bob Smith took over, and suddenly, engine tests stopped. And I was starting to ask questions. You might remember, John, 6 months, a year go by. Why are they not testing this engine? Why are we not hearing about any tests? Are they keeping the tests secret? Are there problems we don't know about? Well, we now know, in retrospect, they were not testing. Because if they tested, they might blow the engine up, and they didn't have any additional spares, and he wouldn't pay for spares. And so they couldn't test. When you couldn't test, you can't figure out how to fix the problem. And that was their problem.
All right, SpaceX, second booster for 17th time. What is this, a magic number, 17?
No, this is just the record at the moment. At the moment, over the weekend, SpaceX launched another 22 Starlink satellites. That was only the first launch over the weekend, by the way. They followed it up the next day with another launch of 21 Starlink satellites, but that booster only had flown 6 times. But the first launch over the weekend, they sent it up with for Falcon 9 with a booster that was flying its 17th time. This is now, SpaceX now has 2 boosters in its fleet that have flown 17 times, and one that's flown 16 times, and I think one, I'm sorry, one that's flown 15 times, and there's a bunch of others that have flown more than 10 times. And 17 is not going to be the permanent record, John. It's not a magic number. It's just the record at the moment. Both these boosters will definitely fly again. They are hoping to get them at least 20 flights. And if they're still in good shape, I'll bet you they'll keep flying them because, you know, they eventually would like to pass the shuttle flight records. Even though shuttle flights required intensive refurbishment of a great cost, apparently SpaceX's first stages don't require that kind of refurbishing after flight after flight.
All right. Now, again, the Opera taking over, donating a Merlin engine to Smithsonian. Why? What does the Merlin engine represent from SpaceX?
SpaceX has donated both a Merlin engine and a Falcon 9 grid fin to the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum. The Merlin engine is the engine they use on their Falcon 9 rocket, and of course the grid fins are used to help guide the first stage back to a safe landing on the barge or at Cape Kennedy or at Vandenberg. Why did they donate these two? Well, the first question I ask is, why aren't they using these things more? They only used the grid fin once. I wonder why. And what? Because they use the first stage multiple times. And the same thing with the engine. It was flown about three times, and then why did they stop using it? That's an engineering question, but they haven't said. Why they donate it to the Smithsonian, I think, is politics, John, as you say. The game goes on. SpaceX is now being squelched by the Biden administration and the bureaucracy and the regulatory swamp in Washington, preventing Starship and Super Heavy from launching. Well, it's good publicity to donate these things to the Smithsonian for people to see and to admire and possibly to help put pressure on the government to let SpaceX do what it does best.
And you can now all enjoy, with the reopening of the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, the engine and the grid fin that led to SpaceX's being celebrated. We're going to Discovery next. Bennu's back. Well, Bennu's sample is back. And what does that mean for the next and the next and the next sample return mission? This is CBS Eye on the World. Bob Zimmerman, Behind the Black. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.